Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Pre-Service Chat. It's great to have you all with us. Great to have Shyla with us today. I hope you're having a really good summer. With the summer, every year comes one of our Serve the City options. Why don't you tell us just a little bit about that?
Yeah, we've got Back to School and Love in the Laces coming up.
Yeah.
So these initiatives have been going quite a while. We were actually just debating which came first.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But this is our seventh year with Backpacks.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so with Backpacks, we partner with 1UP, Single Parent Resource Center.
Okay, yep.
And in my past 3 years doing this program, we've helped about 180 students get backpacks.
That's awesome.
Yep. It's just crazy. This year, the need has exploded.
Okay.
We have 240 registrants.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, so you said 180, now we're doing 240, but now I don't think we're on our own on this initiative,
no.
Are we? We've been able to partner. Tell us a little bit about that as well.
So the past 2 years, we've partnered with Colwood Church, and this year we're adding Canvas Oak Bay to the mix.
Nice.
Yes, between the three of us, we're hoping to cover.
Yeah.
We've actually already extended what we thought we were going to. Our cutoff was going to be. We thought our cutoff was going to be 225.
Okay.
But just the phone calls and the emails that have flooded in. Yep. It's between the three churches, we're hoping to cover the need this year.
Awesome, awesome. So, you know, one thing I should say right off the top is we're letting people know it's coming.
Yes.
There's going to be lots more information. So we're sort of doing a flyover of what all is taking place. So we're partnering with a couple other churches. There's 240 backpacks that we're going to be putting together. Love in the Laces is...
So Love in the Laces is our initiative that we partner with Churchill Estates,
nice.
Which is our community next door.
Yeah.
And we just help that community, for the kids in that community have shoes that they need to get back to school.
Yep. It's fun partnering with other families.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So as we start rolling forward, where are we going to be able to find all the information? Let's maybe just talk a little bit about some of those dates. We realize they're coming up. So what are they?
So this program will be launching July 31st,
okay.
Which is a couple of Sundays from now.
Yep.
Okay. You'll be able to find the information on our website. The last couple of years, we have asked if you'd like to fill a backpack, please donate online.
Right.
This year, we're kicking it old school.
Okay, nice.
So we're actually going to have physical backpacks.
Cool.
In the service for those who are attending in person to pick up and fill.
Awesome.
If you would like to fill a backpack without picking up a physical backpack and still register online, you'll be able to do so online. And we'll also have a number of the shoes that you can sign up for in a service or you can sign up online. So our homepage will be your best friend for this.
Yeah, that's so cool. Lots of options.
Yeah.
So you're saying at both campuses on the 31st, they'll physically be able to pick up a backpack. It'll have a nice list.
Yes, there'll be a list inside. There'll be a tag that says, I'm for someone in kindergarten. I'm for someone in grade 12. So whomever your targeted age group is, you can pick up a backpack and there will be a supply list in the large portion. And if you'd like to go shopping with your family to fill it, or if you'd like to go shopping on your own to fill it, it's there. And then the shoes are a registrant, so you'll get a little card if you're in the office or in the sanctuary with the information of the general age of the child, their shoe size, and their requested pair of shoes.
Cool.
And if you're signing up online, then you'll get a confirmation email, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So there will be more intel, if you like. We'll be talking more about it, but we did just want to give you a little bit of a heads up. It's a great initiative. You know, as Shyla said, it's been going on for 7 years, and I think Love in the Laces, this will be our sixth fall that we're doing it.
Wow.
And that's really cool. So we'll be able to hit the website. Partnering with?
With Colwood Church.
Yep.
With Canvas, Oak Bay, and we'll also be partnering with our 1UP Single Parent Resource, which is a near and dear organization to our
really
heart.
Cool. Yeah.
And Churchill Estates, which is the More Than a Roof neighborhood right next to us.
That's right next to us. Yeah, we love them. Now, there's always needing some volunteers to help out with this now that we're doing actual packs and needing to coordinate all of that. What are you looking for there?
So this year I'm looking for some sign-up table volunteers. So if you are in the office or in the building on a Sunday, we would love for you to sign up and help us sign other people up to the program.
Cool.
We're looking for people who are going to be able to help us hand out backpacks this year. So 1UP, I'm not sure if you've heard, their building down on Gorge, which used to suffice,
right,
is no longer something that can house them. It's
right.
They've run into some rundown problems.
Yep.
So their new office is just not large enough for that initiative. So SBC will be taking that on this year.
Oh.
Yes, we will be housing the backpacks.
All right.
We will be handing them out
to the
recipients. So if you're interested in just some people contact, that would be a great thing for you to sign up for. And then I always need some help on the administration side.
Yep. And so if all of that was confusing to you, you just go, I think I'd like to help. Here's what you do. You reach out to office at sandwichbaptist.org, right? And just say, hey, Shyla, like to hear more about it. Serve the city, pack to school, love laces, whatever you put there, we'll make sure that we get you connected to Shyla. So this is great. Shyla, thank you so much. I can't believe it's been 3 years you've been running this.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, it's fantastic. So please be in prayer for that initiative. Thanks for joining us this morning. Have a great day.
Ones for you this week. Yeah. First up, we want to give a warm welcome to our new receptionist, Nikita.
Absolutely.
Right here.
Yeah, it's exciting to have Nikita on our team. The other announcement we want to mention is you hear us talk about Serve the City all the time. We have all kinds of various opportunities for that. We are getting ready for our fall. You and I were debating, is it summer or fall? It starts in summer, but it's for the fall. Pack to school and loving the laces. And we're going to have all kinds of information rolling out over the next few weeks. But as we get into that, Shyla could use some volunteers. And so if you would like to reach out to us at office@sandwichbaptist.org and let Shyla know of your interest in helping, we would appreciate that.
You betcha. Awesome. Well, I think that's all the announcements that we have for you this week. Wait.
Oh.
There's one more.
Oh, you're right.
Lindsay, today is the day.
It is.
Woo!
Hey, it's great to have you here today, and we are having our first summer barbecue following the service. Now, if people are actually watching this, just realized, hey, they could come. So you could come and join us, hop in your car, come down to the Wilkinson Road campus following the service for the barbecue, or you can head up to CPC for the barbecue there as well.
Or if you drive fast, you can hit up both. Either way, we'll see you later for a barbecue. Now the announcements are over.
Thing we didn't forget that last very important barbecue announcement. And yeah, if you're sitting here and your stomach is already starting to growl a little bit, good news, we'll solve that in just about an hour or so. But regardless of whether you're staying for the barbecue or whether you're tuning in online or however you're joining us this morning, we're so glad that you're here, that we can worship together on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and the Kwungan people. And just as we begin to worship, I would love to invite you to stand. And I'm going to read this call to worship from Psalm 108, verses 1 to 5. And it says this: My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make melody with all my being. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among all the peoples. I will sing praise to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. So let's sing together. Let's start off by singing Your Love Awakens Me. So good to me. took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Oh no. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't. No. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you gave yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave. Praise you. Because even though we were born into sin and we were lost in sin and brokenness, that you love us, and that you tell us that we are children of God, that we can call you God of the universe, Abba, Father, Daddy. And that just as a child can come to their parent with fears and hopes and dreams, just as a child can be silly with their parent, or they can be serious with their parent, we can come to you in all seasons of our lives, whether we're near or far, whether we're happy or sad, we can come to our beloved Father, and you wait with open arms. What a gift. Thank you so much, Jesus, for your gift of the cross in repairing our relationship with our Father. And we love you and we worship you this morning. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, you may have a seat. And kids, you guys can head to the back and find Shyla, and she would love to take you up to your kids' program to worship there. So, yeah.
Well, thanks, Kim. It is good to be with all of you this morning. We have spent these first few minutes worshiping our God, declaring some of the truths of who He is, what He has done, what we can live in. And we're going to do that and continue to do that as we read some scripture, as we spend some time in prayer. Now, this scripture I'm going to read for you is Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 23. And you may be familiar with it from one of the translations that you normally read. This morning, I'm going to read it from the Message. And it just maybe helps share and shed some different perspective and light on this teaching of who our God is, who Jesus is, and what He's done. Colossians 1, 13 to 23. God rescued us from dead-end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son He loves so much, the Son who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. We look at this Son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything He created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, He organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, He's there, towering far above everyone. So spacious is He, so expansive, that everything of God finds its proper place in Him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, peoples and things and animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of His death, His blood, that poured down from the cross. You yourselves are a case study of what He does. At one time, you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of Him, giving Him trouble every chance you got, but now, by giving Himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy in His presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in that bond of trust, constantly tuned in to the message, careful not to be distracted or diverted. There is no other message, just this one. Every creature under heaven gets the same message. I, Paul, am a messenger of this message. Some great truths there. I would like to ask you just to stand with me now. We are going to do a corporate prayer. And as has been our tradition in these last months, I will lead us off, and then if you would join together and pray along with me. God, you are good and upright, and you instruct us in your ways. Show us how to break down the barriers separating us from you and each other. Let us, through the wilderness sin has created, find new life. Forgive us for the times we have abandoned the poor, the disabled, and the homeless. Teach us how to live by the law of love in unity, peace, and harmony. Lead us through the wilderness sin to find new life. Forgive us for the ways we exclude people of different race, culture, or gender. Guide us that we may come to mutual understanding and care. Lead us through the wilderness sin has created to find new life. Draw us into your community to embrace those with whom we need to be reconciled. Grant that all who seek to heal divisions between peoples may have hope. Lead us through wilderness sin has created to find new life. Show us your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths and guide us towards your truth. This is the gospel message, that once we were lost in sin, but that through the blood of your Son, Jesus, we are found. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Thanks, Lindsay. Good morning, everyone. Good to have you here today, whether you're in the room in person or online. We're just glad to have you here with us on this supposedly summer day. We're trying. It'll come eventually. I was thinking as I was going over the sermon this morning that I have 6 Sundays left here at Saanich to speak. I have this Sunday, next Sunday, then I'm off for some vacation, and then I'm back for 4 Sundays in September, and then my ministry here at Saanich is wrapped up. And so I've been thinking, what do I want to say during those 6 Sundays? And we were in a series called Crazy Busy. We're scrapping that series. Someone else can pick it up some point in the future. Because that's good, but that's not what I want to really spend 6 Sundays talking to you about. I think what I want to spend 6 Sundays talking to you about is the big E on the eye chart. I want to talk to you about God. I want to talk to you about His Son, Jesus. I want to talk to you about His kingdom and His calling. That's what I want to talk to you about over the next 6 weeks. And today, I want us to look at my favorite story that Jesus told. It's my favorite story that Jesus told. We're going to take 2 weeks to do it because it really gives us a view of what God the Father is like. And when we understand what God the Father is like and we start to understand what Jesus is like, it allows us to live as kingdom people. And so before we look at the story I want to talk about today, I want to give you some context. The religious leaders, just before this story happened, were accusing Jesus of hanging around with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus responded in Luke chapter 15 by telling 3 stories in light of their objections. And Jesus told those stories to blow up their existing paradigms of how people viewed God. Jesus wanted people to discover what God the Father was really like. And I want to say to you, that is so crucial for us. That is so crucial for us to understand what God the Father is really like. It's crucial that each of us has an accurate view of God. As Eugene Peterson has said, he said, "Nothing counts more in the way we live than what we believe about God. Nothing counts more in the way we live than what we believe about God. Your relationships, your attitudes, your values are all impacted by your view of God. In fact, your life is an expression of your view of God. Your life is an expression of your view of God. And the stories in Luke 15 are meant to shape that view. And for years, the third story in Luke 15 is called the Parable of the Prodigal Son. And that's kind of actually a mistaken title because the story is really about two sons and a father. However, today and next week, I just really want us to zone in on the younger son, the prodigal, and his dad. And this story has two scenes to it, so fair warning, I'm going to leave you hanging today. I don't know how many of you, not too many are as old to remember. How many people remember the original Batman? I mean, the original Batman, a few of you, right? And you remember as a kid, you're watching that original Batman, and at the end of it, Batman's hanging over like a vat of acid, and it says, stay tuned, next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Well, that's what I'm going to do to you today. I'm going to leave you hanging at the end of the sermon. Because today we're going to focus in on the younger son. And then next week we're going to focus in on the father's response to the younger son. So let's look at scene one. Scene one's the younger son. Let's look at that. Starting in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, it says this. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me a share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. Let's just journey through the first part of the story together today. Starts again back in verse 11. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger one said to his father, Father, give me a share of the estate. So here this father, he's got two sons, and the younger son comes to his dad and says, Dad, I would like my share of the inheritance now. Now that may not seem like a big deal to us. In fact, very often today that actually happens for tax reasons and other reasons that the inheritance is given early. But in Mideastern culture, in the day of Jesus, it would have been a shocking and unheard of request. When the original hearers heard this story, they would have been astounded. To ask for your inheritance while your father was still alive was unthinkable. It was an extraordinary insult. An estate was to be divided at the father's death. Now remember something, this is really important, that the estate back then was usually all land. And so when the father died, the land would be divided up. Now, having said that, there were procedures available back then if the father chose to give his land to his sons before he died. If the father decided to divide the estate before his death, the estate would be divided according to Jewish custom, with one part of the estate going to the younger son and two parts going to the elder son. This is where it really pays to be the firstborn. And in such cases, the heirs would be given the legal right of possession of the land, but not the right to disposition. Meaning the property would be the son's, but the dad still had control over it. The sons had ownership, but not the right to sell any of it. And do you notice in the story that Jesus told, here the younger son came to his dad and not only wanted his inheritance, he also wanted to liquidate his part of it. He wanted the money while his dad was still alive. That request really amounted to the younger son saying to his dad, Dad, I want my inheritance now. I want you to sell the land, and I want you to give me the money, and then I want you to drop dead. That's basically what the younger son was saying to his dad. And after hearing that request from the son, the listeners of Jesus' story back in that day would have been absolutely outraged. There was only one way for the father to respond. They expected him to hit the roof and throw the son out of the house, verbally assaulting him as he did it. Now, if the original hearers were stunned at the son's request, they would have been floored at the father's response. Look at verse 12. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate. Dad, give me my money now. I wish you were dead." And look at what the father did. So he divided his property between them. The father said yes to the son's request. That meant the father would have to sell one-third of his land. The whole situation would have been a huge, huge embarrassment to the father. And yet the father was willing to endure the shame and the humiliation and the pain of his son's request. And once the son got the money, he took off. Look at verse 13. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. A distant country is a place where everything that was considered holy at home would be disregarded. Do you see what was happening? The son was not only turning his back on his father, he was not only wishing his father dead, he was also turning his back on his father's ways. And in the first century, there was a Jewish custom that dictated if a Jewish son lost his inheritance among the Gentiles and dared to return back to the village where he lived, he would face a kazaza ceremony. And a kazaza ceremony, this is what would happen. The son would be stopped at the edge of the village. And there the villagers would meet him with clay pots. And they would smash the clay pots in front of the man. This symbolized that a broken relationship now existed between the community and the son. And while they smashed their pots, they would be shouting, "So-and-so is cut off from his people and is not welcome here anymore." And from that moment on, the villagers would have nothing to do with the son. He'd now be cut off from his family and his village. So in setting off to a foreign land, the son was taking a huge risk. If he lost his money among the Gentiles, he was done for. So why did the father let him go? You ever ask that question when you've heard the story of the prodigal son? Why on earth did the father let him go? Well, the father knew this. He couldn't compel the son to stay at home. He knew he had to give the son the choice between being in a relationship with him and not being in a relationship with him. Some of you parents have experienced a similar situation and know the pain that would bring to a father's heart. When God created this place called Earth, we all know the crown of his creation was humanity. And you also know, if you know the story of Christianity, that early on humanity turned their back on their heavenly Father and headed out on their own. You ever wonder, why did God give humans freedom of choice? The answer is because God desires to have a genuine relationship with people. He wants us to know him and to love him and to walk humbly with him. And God knows that that kind of relationship can't be forced. He knows a genuine relationship can only exist where there's room for people to choose or choose not to be in it. Thus, God has given each of us the freedom to accept or reject being in relationship with him. As Henry Nouwen said, he said this, and he said it well, just as the father of the prodigal son let his son make his own decision, God gives us the freedom to move away from God's love, even at the risk of destroying ourselves. And notice what happened to the son in verse 13. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country where he squandered his wealth in wild living. With his father out of the picture, the son cut loose from the father's ways, the father's values. And while we're not given specific details about what the wild living entailed, your imagination can probably fill in the blanks. The son had turned his back on his dad and on his dad's ways and decided to live the way he wanted to live. And then life happened. Look at verse 14. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. At the same time that his money ran out, famine hit the land, and he started to get hungry. Now today, what would our kids do if you have kids? They would come home, right? They go, hey, Mom and Dad, I'm back. So why didn't the son do the same thing? Why didn't he just head home? Well, remember this, there was nothing to go home to. He'd broken his relationships with his family and with the entire community. Having lost his inheritance among the Gentiles, a kazaza ceremony now awaited him. The pots would be broken. So what did he do? Look at verse 15. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. According to Mosaic law, pigs were unclean animals. They were detestable, unholy. An ancient Jewish axiom warned, cursed is he who feeds swine. And yet here was the son working as a pig feeder. And if that wasn't bad enough, he was so hungry, he wanted to eat the pods he was feeding to the pigs. He's desperate. The son sought freedom, but finished up enslaved. He chased after pleasure, but landed in a pigsty. He gave himself to feasting, but wound up starving. He wanted to find himself, but in reality, he lost himself. And what was true for the son can be true of us as well, right? We think we know best. And because we think we know best, we often end up in a mess. You know, in over 32 years of ministry, I've heard over and over again, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. I'm leaving my family because I found this person I really love. The grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Over and over in different things, I've seen people chase after pleasure, after pleasure, after pleasure, only to end up in disaster, just like the sun. And finally, the son, he comes to his senses. Verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. He came to his senses. He figured out, I'm on the road to death, not life. Often it takes a pig pen experience before we check our pride and come to our senses, doesn't it? Often it's only when we hit the bottom. And we hit the bottom hard that we come to our senses. And this young man, he comes to his senses and he decides he's going to return home. He knows he's going to face a kazaza ceremony and be thrown out of his village. After all, he had disrespected his father and his family and his village. He'd become unclean. He was around pigs. He'd lost his money among the Gentiles. There is nothing good about the story. Nevertheless, he was desperate. And he was going to go home. It seemed like the only option other than death. So he worked up a speech. Look at verse 18. He says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." Notice the line there he begins with, "I have sinned against heaven and against you." Now that sounds like a pretty good opening line, doesn't it? Trying to win dad back, "Dad, I blown it." Except Jesus here was telling the story to a scholarly audience. And they would have recognized that that sentence was very similar to the one Pharaoh used when he addressed Moses after the 9 plagues. Pharaoh said to Moses in Exodus 10, 16, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you." But the problem there is Pharaoh was not sincerely repenting. He was trying to manipulate the situation. And that was most likely what the son was trying to do as well. It was hunger. It was desperation, not repentance, that drove him home. And he knew if he had any hope, if he had any chance of anyone listening to him, he better start with a humble opening line. Then after his opening statement, the son was going to beg his father to hire him as a servant. Look at verse 19 again. "Make me one of your hired servants." The son knew he had forfeited the rights of sonship. He knew his father wouldn't take him back as a son. That was a certainty. And so he was hoping, almost against hope, that his father would somehow allow him to be a hired servant. Now, back then, there were 2 types of servants. There was domestic servants, who were people who lived on the estate and were given room and board, but no pay. And then there were hired servants. They were people who lived in the villages, and they were tradesmen and craftsmen, and they earned a wage. So if he was able to speak to his father, if he was able to do that, the son was going to plead with him something like this: "Father, I know I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I know I don't have the right to come back into the family, and I know I'm not your son anymore, but if you apprentice me to one of your hired men so I can learn a trade and earn a wage, then at least I could repay some of my debt and atone for my mistakes, my sins. Maybe, I know it's a long shot, but maybe one day I can earn my way back into the family." Now, a couple of thoughts about all this. First, notice the son does not really understand the true nature of sin. Do you notice that? He thinks the issue is lost money. "I took my dad's money. I spent it wrongly. That's the sin. Wild living's the sin." He's not understanding that the real issue isn't a broken law. It's a broken relationship. He doesn't understand that. Do you? Do we? That at its heart, all sin is about a broken relationship. All sin breaks relationship with yourself, with others, with God. That's the heart of sin. The heart of sin isn't breaking some law. The heart of sin is it breaks relationships. Second, notice that the son is trying to earn his way back into the family. "Father, make me a hired servant." And I think that's the posture of many people today. They're trying to earn God's approval. I was listening to an audio book this week as I was driving around, and the author was saying, "I've done all these good things. I'm hoping when I get to heaven, God approves and lets me in." So often we're trying to earn God's approval. Place yourself in the story for a moment. Have you turned your back on God and his ways? Are you coming to your senses? Are you about to hit rock bottom? Maybe you're wondering about heading home, turning back and coming back to God, and you're wondering, Will God even accept me? I've messed up so bad. Will God accept me? Can I enter into his kingdom? Or maybe you're here today online or in person and you're trying to earn God's approval. If I just do this and this and this, God will approve of me. I'll get a stamp of approval. Do you find yourself somewhere in the story today? Verse 20 says this, so he got up and went to his father. As scene one closes out, the son, dressed in rags, reeking of cigarettes, pigs, and cheap hooker perfume, heads for home. He knew he was going to face a kazaza ceremony. He knew he'd be thrown out of his village. But now he had no options. The only question is, how will the father respond? Same bat time, same bat channel. Next week we find out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this amazing story, and the best is yet to come about it. Thank you that you're a God who loves us. And I pray what we'll hear next week will change us. Will change our view of you, because, Father, how we view you determines how we live. May we have a correct view of you, and then may we have a correct view of your Son and his kingdom and his call. And I pray in these closing weeks of mine preaching at Sanage that I will just leave those things with such clarity, because those are the things that really matter. God, I pray if we see ourselves in this story today, we'll just turn to you and start running home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, I invite you to stand as we close by singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Let's sing this together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved us. Like me, I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to feel, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. last days. We've no last days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Love being reminded of that story. Hope we come to our senses, right? And that we'll approach and come to the Father. Yeah. Well, this morning, if you are maybe in need of some prayer, something's just come up to your heart and mind this morning, or maybe you came in just with a heavy heart, there are people will be up front who'd just love to pray with you. Would love that. Did we receive the offering? I didn't actually see it.
They did it? Even though I forgot.
Awesome. Okay, yeah. Sorry, I wasn't looking around. I was kind of in my own space there. So you've received the offering. That's great. If you came and maybe you wanted to give digitally, you can go to the giving station at the back. You can do that as well. Thank you so much for your support over this past year with your giving. We're having a little barbecue, just a simple little barbecue after the service, hot dog, a hamburger. Feel free to stick around. Love to just hang out a little bit at the back patio. It's just right over here. If you kind of go out these doors, just come along the side, and we're just going to be out there. Let's just close with these words from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Well, God bless you. Look forward to hanging out with you just for a few moments following the service. Take care.
Thank you.